I think you're really going to enjoy today's episode if you're finding yourself being a little bit overwhelmed in the midst of tax season. And I know that not every single one of you actually files taxes, but if you are a bookkeeper or an accountant or you do actually file taxes, every single one of us are impacted during this season. And that's mostly because we all have upticks in cleanups. Those of you who actually do tax filing, you have to actually do the filing. We have the people who are scrambling around last minute to try to get you documents and information. We all are affected during this time. And the one thing I see a lot is a lot of people after the season is over, ignoring all the things that need to be fixed that went wrong during tax season. So in today's episode, I'm actually going to be sharing my 6 steps and a process that you can listen to over and over again that will teach you how to stop and reevaluate a process or a thing or a season that you just went through to help you to understand how to fix things and make improvements so that next year you don't have to go through the same thing over and over again. This is a tip and a strategy that I have been using for years in my business, and it has been a lot of the reasons why I've had success in both companies, and I cannot wait for us to dive into today's episode. I'm going to be deep diving into how to really understand this core process of making core improvements in the business. And I'm going to be sharing all the little tips and golden nuggets with you guys. And I hope you enjoy today's episode. Do you ever feel like if you had actionable systems in place that it can actually take your practice to the next level? Can you imagine the freedom you'd gain from finally getting everything out of your head and into a system that can help you move things on autopilot? Do you ever feel like you want to hire help for your practice, but you just don't know where to start? Trust me, I get it, and you're not alone. But it doesn't have to be this way. You're kick-ass at doing the bookkeeping and accounting work. There's no doubt about that. But you struggle to maintain the systems and operations of your business. Am I right? But don't worry, that's where I come in, the workflow queen. I'm going to guide you on how to implement tech, systems, and automation in your practice so you can scale bigger, hire better, and break through to the next level. I can't wait to support you here on the Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host, Alyssa Lang. So as this episode is airing, we're going to get really damn close to the end of tax season. And as much as we want to celebrate and be so excited that it's finally done, there's still some things, some very important things that I want to talk about in today's episode to prepare you for really any heavy season in the business of how to make improvements. And so if you are someone who is in the accounting space, which if you're listening to this episode and you're listening to the podcast, then most likely you are in the accounting space. If you are in this space, no matter what you do, you are impacted by tax season. If you just do bookkeeping in your business, you're still impacted by tax season because usually we have an influx of cleanups anywhere from January up until April. For those who just scramble around, who aren't proactive with their bookkeeping throughout the year, and they just want you to kind of like get them ready to be able to be compliant, to be able to file with the IRS, right? And so if you do taxes, then you're way more impacted than all the other bookkeepers and accountants because you're stuck actually filing the return. And so something that I really wanted to, you know, talk about that I feel like isn't conversed a lot about is this idea that at the end of any large major thing that you do, it could be a major project, it could be major season, kind of like what we're all in right now. It's a really good idea to take a step back and reflect on what went right and what went wrong during that season, during that major project, during that major thing that you're accomplishing. Because if we don't stop and see like, well, what went good? Like, what were the things that we could do better and more of next time around? What are things that went wrong that maybe we could fix in the interim until the next season comes around? And so I really wanted to give you guys some tips and some tricks on the ways that I am able to kind of take a step back in my own firm and in my own businesses and just say, you know what, we're going through this, you know, really busy project or really big, busy process or really busy season. And I want to reevaluate it so that way we make improvements. Because if you know this all too well, you could probably resonate with this, that when we are in these heavy seasons, the first thing that you want to do is take a vacation or just run away because it's so stressful, especially during tax season. Like, it's overwhelming. Then there's the last minute deadline, people who just don't respect your time. I totally get it. And I really do believe that you deserve to have that time off and to be able to give yourself that brain break. But at the same time, that time is the most important time and the freshest time that you'll have the freshest memories of what was going right and what went wrong during that season. And it's even if you don't take action to actually fixing it right now, it's all about just notating it. You can come to it later. So in today's episode, I'm really going to deep dive into some of those things that I have accumulated over time of those tips and tricks that have helped me make improvements and helped me to really grow the business, expand it, and as road bumps come along, how I'm able to tackle them head on. So I want to cover a couple of different things, and this is kind of the order. So my recommendation is like maybe listen to this episode, maybe while walking, or for me, it's like lately it's been cleaning around my house and I'll be listening to episodes and whatnot. My recommendation is listen, then go back and write down some notes of like this process, because what I'm about to tell you is a process that you can use for any time that you are going through a major process or a major change or a major time frame in the business. So the first step is always to take a break and relax. The next step is to sit down and determine what went right and what went wrong. Next step is to assess the good and the bad and determine what needs to be changed or what needs to change. Next step would be to actually roll out those changes and make the improvements that are needed. And then the last two is to test and repeat. So I'm going to break down each of these steps here. And so these steps are really important for any improvement. So the first thing is always take that break and relax, especially after tax season. Like I said, whether you file taxes or you do bookkeeping, we're all impacted. I know for my firm, we had a lot of cleanups. We've got a lot of new people kind of on our plate, a lot of people who just wanted a cleanup and they just kind of take off. They don't want like the monthly service, which is totally okay. It just means that every year they're going to come back for a cleanup, right? Just take a break. Like intentionally sit down while you're listening to this episode, maybe pause it, and just open up your calendar and pick one or two days where you do absolutely nothing. And I don't want it to be on a weekend. I know you're going to think I'm really crazy for this, but when I say take a break and like intentionally take some time off, the weekend doesn't count for this one. I want you to pick 2 days during the week. If you can manage to do this, pick 2 days during the week, maybe a Monday or Tuesday, or maybe a Monday and a Friday. I don't care what you pick. I want you to pick 2 days intentionally and do nothing. I want you to treat yourself. I want you to congratulate yourself for getting through yet another tax season and for doing all the things that you did to celebrate yourself, whether how big or small it was or the expectation that you hit or didn't hit, whatever it was, take that time off. Go for a walk. Take your kids out. Go to Disneyland. I don't care what you do. I just really want you to not think about anything work-related. I know it's hard to shut off your brain. I know this for myself that even if I take like a vacation, I still think about work, and I think that's totally okay. But if something comes up for you while you take those two intentional days off of like maybe you're doing some self-reflecting and you're thinking through, oh my gosh, I really wish we would have done it this way. Man, a lot of our clients complained that like it was kind of messy. They didn't know who to talk to. Whatever those things are, it is okay as those thoughts pass your mind. And when they do, my recommendation is if you have like a notes app on your phone or if you happen to have a notebook around you, just simply jot down what you're thinking and don't take action. Don't try to look into it. Don't try to solve it. Don't try to do anything with it. Just write it down as those thoughts come out. Because I found that whenever I take like long-term leaves or like if I take like an intentional day off, I can't stop thinking about the business. But what my rule is, I'm not allowed to work during those days that I'm intentionally taking off, but I am, however, allowed to sit down. And if something comes through my mind, I'm able to write it down or put it in a notes app in my phone. Then when I come back from my leave and come back from vacation, then I reassess what I had like written down. And so my first step for you is to take a break, relax. And if you want to be held accountable, message me. You can go to Instagram at WorkflowQueen or you can email me at support@workflowqueen.com and tell me the 2 days that you're intending to take off unplugged during the week, that you're just not going to do anything work-related. If you need to be held accountable, I will totally hold you accountable and check in on you, I promise. So take your break and relax. So that's my plan. My birthday actually falls the day after tax day. And so I always joke around that like I was meant to be in the accounting space and in the accounting world because my birthday is the day after. So like when I used to do taxes in my firm back in the day at Top Notch, that was my first firm. During that time, I used to always celebrate for my birthday. It was like not only my birthday, but also like taxes were done and they were filed. Obviously, some years the taxes would be filed later than the 15th because, you know, if it fell on a Saturday, you know, all that stuff. But regardless, I always celebrated my birthday. And so I really recommend taking those 2 days. Now, the next step is after the season is over, and that 2 day break is after tax season. So after April 15th. The next thing I want you to do is to sit down and determine what went wrong and what went right. And so you probably might be thinking, well, Lissa, during my leave, you said that during that time you might think about these things. Yes, you will. But there'll be flying ideas, flying information, and flying thoughts as you're taking a rest and as you're taking a relaxation and a break. But when we're coming back from that, I want you to intentionally sit down at your computer and think about what went right and what went wrong. For me, I use a simple Google Doc. And it's really super straightforward. It's like the good, the bad, the ugly. That's it. Three sections. Everybody always wants to know, like, what does it look like, Alyssa? It's literally, I'm not kidding you when I say this, it's like taking out a notebook and putting three sections, the good, the bad, the ugly, and just filling them out. It's nothing complicated. It's nothing fancy. It gets the job done. What I do is if I took that leave or break where I thought about some of the issues that we had during tax season, then I'll go back into that good, the bad, the ugly document, and I'll actually take all that information and put it into its respective spot. So a lot of people ask me, like, what are these three different sections? So the good means, like, what are the things that went right during tax season? So what went right, like I said, if you do bookkeeping, this still applies to you. So what went right was maybe, you guys were proactive this year. You guys were able to close out all of your clients' books by the end of January. Maybe that's like a big win for you, when maybe last year that really wasn't a thing. So what went good? Maybe you had a lot of great compliments from people saying, like, oh my gosh, you guys did this so quickly. Whatever it was for you. Maybe people were saying that, you know, the cleanups were just like relieving so much stress off their plate and they really are so grateful. I want you to focus on some of the good. And I will tell you from experience that when we start diving into like the bad is where you're going to find that you're going to have more things written than the good. And that's because us as humans, like, we tend to focus more on the bad than we do the good. So it's okay if you can't think of all the good. It's totally fine. Just remember, you're using this as a way for us to then expand on ways that you can actually fix and implement new changes in the business. So the good is anything that good that went right during that season. You can also apply the same concept, guys, to, let's just say that you are, you know, redefining your onboarding process. Every time that you're done onboarding a brand new client, you can go back and do a separate document that's like the good, the bad, the ugly, just for onboarding. So you can use this concept and process for, it doesn't need to just be tax season. It's so many different ways that I use this. I have a never ending document that literally is the good, the bad, the ugly for like my whole business. And I really recommend that you do the same. So I bookmark this on my tab, because sometimes when you're sitting down intentionally and you're trying to fill this thing out, you're going to forget a lot of things. But while you're doing aimless things, for me, it's like when I'm in my email or if I'm like looking at something, all of a sudden I'll remember, like, oh, this is something that went wrong. I'll pull up that document because it's bookmarked on my Chrome, and I'll just go ahead and like dump the information in there. So let's talk about the bad section. So a lot of people always ask me, like, Alyssa, what's the difference between the bad and the ugly? So it doesn't really matter. You don't even have to put the ugly if you don't want to. But for me, ugly is like, oh my God, went so south. It was so bad. Like, we probably need to get rid of this. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, it was ugly. It was messy. That to me is like the most extreme of the worst case scenarios that happen. Versus the bad is just like, you know, just maybe it's bad of things like maybe like at one point, like your guys' email sequence of like the reminders for them to file their taxes, like stopped going out. Then that would be like the bad, right? And so if you don't want to, if it feels overwhelming to like try to designate between ugly and bad in this case, then just do two sections, good and bad. Like, it's, you don't have to overcomplicate this. Like I said, the ugly for me is like the things that's like, yep, we're getting rid of this, like 100% type thing. The bad is for me in my brain, like the things that need to be fixed, like, versus the ugly is like, we're scrapping it, we're getting rid of it, right? You can also, if you want to, put an ideas section. And I do this a lot for a lot of my processes when I'm trying to think about like ways to improve them. Because as you're doing the good, the bad, the ugly, you're going to have ideas of things that are like, oh, you know what? I've never done this before, but maybe like I really want to like implement Content Snare in my, you know, XYZ process. That way we have it XYZ. That's an idea because it never really happened in the first place. So like if you want, you can put another section called ideas. My recommendation is if you do have a team, that I would actually survey your team if you can and involve your team in this process. So I would create the Google Doc and then share it with your team and ask them to also put their good, the bad, the ugly, and tell them that like they're not going to get in trouble for them calling out the company to say that it's not working out. Like, you really need, like, you're so close to the information that you as like the leader forget to ask your team about their perspective, because like their perspective is probably like, oh my God, the task management was really chaotic. Like, I was really overwhelmed. I didn't really know when like it was my turn to do something. And you might not see that because in your brain, it's like, oh, it's all working. It's great. You need to involve your team on this. There's two options for the survey. My recommendation is either to do a anonymous survey or to do a survey that asks for their first and last name. So that way you could kind of follow up with the team member and ask them to like expand on it. I always like the anonymous version, and you could do this through like Google Forms. So Google Forms allows for an anonymous form, which means don't put any questions that ask for their name, their email, their anything. This is only for your team. This is not for your clients. And you can include your clients if you want, but I recommend this is just for the team. And you do like an anonymous form. So that way the team can be super honest with you about how they felt, because like when it's anonymous, they feel like they can't be seen or nobody will know it's them, and they can be really raw and honest with you. The downfall of having an anonymous is you can't reach out to that team member to ask them for like expansion on it. But to me, that's okay, because I'd rather have the raw, real, honest truth than like something that's fluffed up, you know what I mean? And then also have their name. So my recommendation is like get the team involved, because you'd be surprised like what their recommendations are of like, oh yeah, the things that went good were this. Maybe it's something that you didn't even see that was going good, that you're in your team's eyes are like, this was going amazing. So I really recommend that you include them on this. Another thing that you can do is you can survey your clients. This is totally up to you. I didn't have this on my list, but now that I'm kind of like talking about it, I'm realizing that it might actually be a good idea to also survey your clients. So after tax season, maybe potentially sending them an anonymous Google form as well, but separate. It would not be the same questions as what you would give your team. They're two totally different types of people involved in the company. I would do a separate like Google form directly to your clients, and I would email it to all of them. Maybe offer them like a $25 gift card. Like someone's going to win a $25 gift card after everybody who, you know, fills out this form. We're then going to do a gift card. That's hard though to do a gift card when it's anonymous because then you won't know who it is. So I would just probably scrap that if you are doing anonymous. But if you're doing a non-anonymous, which means like they could put their first and last name, then maybe you can incentivize them to fill out that form by saying that you're going to pick one person to like give a gift card to. That I could tell you from experience that helps people actually respond to it because they want to win the gift card. But if you're going to do it anonymous, then I would also send it out to your clients anonymously and just say like, give me your honest feedback of your experience. If you're only bookkeeping, but during tax season, say like your experience working with us during cleanups. If you are a tax preparer, then what was your experience this tax season with us? You'd be surprised of how much the clients have insight, and also you might... Hey, listener, just wanted to quickly interrupt this episode today to ask you, have you been trying to find a better solution to actually taking payments from your clients? Then boy, do I have a solution for you. One of my absolute favorite pieces of tech is Pluto. Pluto is such a game changer in your business. It really helps you to allow you to be able to take payments easily from your clients through ACH. They also take credit card as well, but they have so many different options. One of the big perks to using something like Pluto over something like QBO and all the other options that we have out there for invoicing is because it is way more cost effective, and it has saved me thousands of dollars on those fees that we get taken out for invoicing our clients. So we no longer use QuickBooks Online in order to invoice our own clients. We now have migrated over to Pluto. And if you want to learn more about Pluto and check it out, it is amazing. They make such a seamless process for our clients to be able to add the ACH information, to ask them to authorize us to be able to take the automatic payment every single month, and saves us a ton of money in fees. You're just going to go to workflowqueen.com/Pluto. That's workflowqueen.com/Pluto to learn more. Be really interested to see that the clients actually probably think your process like turned out really great and that it was amazing and that you guys did it really well. So that's step two, is to sit down and determine what went right. So the good, the bad, the ugly, and some ideas that kind of come up of things that you want to change and implement. Right now at this stage, you're not implementing anything. You're not changing anything. You're not updating anything. Let's just say that one of the changes, like for me, for example, like if we do this for our onboarding process, because that's one of our core processes that we're focusing on this quarter, I have like a document that's good, the bad, the ugly, just for our onboarding process. And we also have like a little idea. So maybe we have ideas to add in, you know, special email sequences that are going to allow us to like have more touch points, things like that. But right now, like the process that we have for our onboarding is working really well, but that's just like nice to haves. But I really do want to jot that down so that eventually one day when we have the extra time, we can actually implement and roll those things out, right? So in this step, you're just writing down the good, the bad, the ugly. And some of the ideas, you're also involving your team, potentially surveying your clients anonymously and also surveying your team anonymously to get their feedback as well. So the next step is to assess the good, the bad, and determine what needs to change. So this document, I will say, is like a never-ending document for me. Like mine is constantly being added to, and constantly we're getting rid of, striking out things that we fixed or whatnot. So I do recommend that like this is a never-ending document that will always be used. That's why I always say like book it to your Chrome extension if you can. But my recommendation is like, after you guys have all done this intentionally, maybe for like 2 weeks following tax season, you guys survey your team, you survey the clients, and you intentionally sat down with the team too and did it for yourself, the good, the bad, the ugly. I want you guys to have like a meeting, whether it's with yourself, like you intentionally like set a date and time on your calendar to just say, during this hour, I'm going to read through all the things that we wrote down as the good, the bad, the ugly, and these ideas that we had. And I'm just going to like consume and just look at it from a different lens, because sometimes when you're doing the filling the thing out, you start to stress yourself out about like, well, can't I fix it now and do all these things? But what you're doing during this time is like, okay, now all that stuff is filled out. Let's look at it. Let's really evaluate it to see where are the, some common themes that we're seeing, where are the, some of the issues, what are some common themes of the good things that were happening? So I'll give you a great example. Let's just say that you're a bookkeeper and during tax season you did a lot of cleanups. So maybe you're bad. Maybe the common theme that you were seeing in like the things that you listed out that were bad all had to do with the client experience. So the client experience would be like, you know, maybe the clients would always come back and be like, I don't know where my documents are. I don't know where this is. Or they would always have a hard time like following back up to you, or they like gave you feedback that they had to go to 15 different spots for one thing. I would look at that and see, is the common theme the client experience systems? Because then from there you could start to say, okay, let's actually like focus on the client experience systems for our cleanup. So that way next season, we don't have to go through this again. And so I like to see the common themes, because the common themes will allow me to know where to focus most of my attention. Because if I only have like one issue, like one common theme of like, I don't know, maybe one common theme is like the miscommunication or something, and you only like had it written down one time, but then predominantly like the other, like, I don't know, 70% of the other things you wrote down that were bad had to do with the client experience. Then I know like, okay, that's not the number one priority right now. Like, we want to eventually tackle that, but right now let's focus on the client experience system. How can we create better email sequences to follow up with the client? How can we remind the clients to save the Google Drive folder that we create for them so they're not scrambling around? How can we consolidate our tech so that way they're not having to go to three different portals? Instead, they're going to one different spot. How can we improve our systems? So this is where you're starting to have that conversation, right? So the assessment phase is really where we're taking a step back. We're looking at the data that you've collected, the things that you've written down. Then the next step is actually rolling out those changes. So this is where like you can focus for the next like couple of months if you want to. Just say like, hey, we're going to focus on fixing a lot of these issues that we went through during tax season, so that way next season we don't have to do this again, and that we don't have to go through the same process and the same headache. So you're essentially taking all the things that you wrote down. You're going to really pinpoint what are we going to focus on right now. Because like I said, some things that like we wrote down that are bad sometimes aren't fixable, or they're not fixable right now, or they're really not the main priority. So you really want to prioritize like what's the most important things. And if you don't know what the most important thing is, reach out to me. I'm really good at like determining what the most important thing in the business to focus on is and whatnot. And I'm more than happy to chat through with you. My next thing is for you to test it. So when you start to make these improvements and you make these changes in the business, you're going to want to start testing them. So it's hard to test something after tax season when we're not in tax season right now, and we won't be for another year, but we will be in tax season again, like, but it won't be as intense, more towards like September, like August, September, and October, because that's when like the extended filers are going to file, but it's not as intense. But it's a good time to like, you know, implement a bunch of changes that by the time that you go through that next influx, you'll then be able to like test all the new changes that you've been making, reevaluate it, and you're going to repeat that same process. So same thing, you're just next year, same thing. You're going to go through end of tax season, take your break. You're going to sit down and determine what went right, good, the bad, the ugly. You're going to survey your team. You're going to survey your clients. You're going to assess based off of all the data that you collected. What is our number one focus? What are the things that we need to fix? Then you're going to roll out the changes and you're going to test it and you're going to repeat it. And this is a non-stop process. And I know that's probably overwhelming, but eventually over time, you'll find that like you'll have less things that are bad and you'll have less things that are like going wrong. And you'll start to find that now you have just more ideas of ways that you can make it better by adding in new layers, because now you'll have more time to focus on like making it better and making it more complex. So this is something that works literally like a charm for me. I'm telling you, I do this constantly with so many different things. There's so many ways that you can be documenting. And like I said, this doesn't need to be just specific to end of tax season, because like I said, whether you do taxes or not, you're affected by tax season. It could be the same process for your onboarding process. It could be the same thing for your cleanup process. You know, take a step back after the next cleanup, take a break, do your 2 weeks of, you know, jotting down the good, the bad, the ugly, surveying your team, surveying your clients on like the cleanup you just did, assessing what went right. This whole thing is repeatable in every single way inside of the business. It is one of the most helpful tools I have ever come across when it's come to the way that I'm able to look at errors and issues and fix them. I get a lot of compliments from people saying like, I don't know how you do it, Alyssa. I don't know how like you manage two businesses and how you're able to like crank out all these things. You have all this automation, all this tech, and like all these different things. And I really truly believe it's because I do take a step back to reevaluate what needs the attention, because I find that in the industry, a lot of people are trying to fix everything at one time versus just focusing on one thing to fix right now. And so that's one of the most important things that you can do in the business that have really helped me with my own success. And that's something I just wanted to pass along to you guys today. So if you have any follow-ups whatsoever, I would recommend re-listening to this episode and just writing down those steps that I gave you guys. There are six in total. Those six steps, that way you can go back and you can use that same process over and over again. But if you have any follow-up questions, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at WorkflowQueen, or you can email me at support@workflowqueen.com. I'm more than happy to answer. And if you like today's episode, I would really, really absolutely adore and love you if you can leave us a review and share what episode was your favorite episode, if what golden nuggets you've learned along the way. It really does help keep the light on over here at our podcast. Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of our Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host, Alyssa Lang, the founder and owner of Workflow Queen. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review on iTunes and share this episode with a fellow bookkeeper or an accountant on social media, and also tag me on Instagram at Workflow Queen. The more that we work together to get this out in front of other people, the better I can help to serve this industry to create more solid systems and processes. Now, go take what you learned from today's episode and apply it into your practice so you can finally give yourself the brain space and freedom that you deserve. I can't wait to see you unfold throughout your journey. And thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode. See you next time.